Kulanu, all of us. And why is this night different from all other nights? Why has this year been different from all other years? And why are we different? So, this is Carol here with Arts Live and Local, delighted to be with you on this holiday weekend. What holiday, you may ask? Good question. The holiday is Passover, and it begins tomorrow evening. It's the beginning of the year, actually. Yeah, springtime is when a lot of people start their year, including in Asia. That's why you have all the New Years, including Persian Nowruz, which just started a few days back. But we're not going to be celebrating that. We are celebrating life, and we're celebrating KMUN being on the air almost 38 days. And you can help us celebrate. If you're on the web already listening, just look up to that red button, click on donate, and drop a little bit in the bucket. And if you aren't, then you can go there, or you can call 503-325-0010. Or send us a check, P.O. Box 269, Astoria, 97103. Wanted to make sure I did not forget to mention, when we get involved in the arts, it gets so thick and heavy with wonderful things that I sometimes forget to remind you that it's you who keeps us on the air. Big thanks to Amy from Long Beach, who jumped in on that challenge grant last week. Thanks, Emmy. I'll put my money in, too. And I want to especially send healing wishes to all in need, and specifically to Eli Falk, who is undergoing surgery, to Susie, our beloved friend, Jeannie McCleary, Frederica, and Ben Frederica, and to my good friend and cousin from Country Fair, Earl Newman. Should have been celebrating his 91st birthday, and I hope he is celebrating. So to you, wherever you are, stay well, treasure each day with gratitude, and we are going to give you some things to be grateful for right here on Arts Live and Local from the parking lot with Nevi. And I think maybe even Rob in the studio. Wow, it takes three of us to get this to you. So remember that when you're donating. I want to welcome somebody who has become a regular here on Arts Live and Local because she is actively bringing dance and my art form to our community, and that is Julia Gingrich. Hi, Julia.
Hi, Carol.
Thank you for being here. Julia is the founder, choreographer, and one of the dancers for Sparrow Dance Company here in Astoria. And if I'm right, I think that our other guest, Nate Laporte, is the newest addition to Sparrow Dance Company. Is that correct? Nate?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I am.
Good. Okay. Well, Nate, have you lived here long?
Actually, yes. I graduated from Napa in 2007, and my grandparents have lived in the area. My mom graduated from Napa. One of my great-grandparents helped, or great-great-grandparents helped build Browns Mean Grange, so I got...
Holy cow! So you're one of my... neighbors. Okay,
yep.
Very cool. Is the family name Laporte?
No, that's my dad's side. He's the newcomer.
Yeah, I didn't recognize it, but we won't out the rest of your family unless you want to. That's okay.
Appreciate it.
Okay. Well, I'm delighted to have you here. And
thank you.
Julia, did you put the word out that you were looking for dancers, or how did Nate come to be part of Sparrow Dance Company?
Sure. Well, we don't hold formal auditions, but we decided to expand the company and create a branch, so to speak, of the company, and we call it our community company.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are individuals who enjoy the creative process, who enjoy moving and expressing themselves,
mm-hmm.
but don't have an intensive background in dance technique like mm-hmm. the other company members with a professional background. And part of our vision is to dance across boundaries of age and abilities. And so we feel like adding the community company and using children, people of all ages, all skill level, really broadens the creative process and expands the opportunities of what we can create.
That is fabulous. Gosh, you just keep surprising me, Julia. Every time I talk to you, there's something new. I love the concept, and I think it's wonderful for our community. It's wonderful for everybody's health. Now, when you say all ages, how young do you go now? Nate is clearly not a child. Well, at least he doesn't sound like one. I have no idea how old he is. Nate?
31.
Okay.
31.
Not a physical child anyway. I don't know.
There's one in there somewhere.
Yeah. hopefully so. What attracted you to this? Had you seen them dance and you thought, I'd like to do that? Or have you always been dancing, or what's going on?
It was 2019, I actually moved into town proper, you know, my first time living here in town, and started going to Watershed Wellness, taking yoga classes there.
Mm-hmm.
And then after doing that for a little while, I just kind of got the itch to expand my movement repertoire, I guess. And I think it was maybe in Hip Fish or something that I originally saw, just like a, you know, thing for the dance. And, you know, or something at the AMC maybe, and then I looked them up and then saw Julia's class
mm-hmm.
Offered. And so, yeah, that was 2019 at some point, late spring maybe, I think I started going to those.
Wow. So had you danced just for fun growing up?
No, I mean, not even really that, no. I had a cousin who grew up a pretty intensive dancer around here. She ended up being on the U of O dance team, so I mean, I was just kind of aware of it
mm-hmm.
as a thing, but it was, you know, wasn't really on my radar, I guess,
mm-hmm.
you know, in terms of something I was really interested in at the time. But it was definitely a decent shift in terms of just kind of the things I wanted to try after I had I was in the Army for 4 years, and
mm-hmm.
yeah, that was just kind of a, I think, part of that. Kind of, yeah.
Didn't do much dancing there.
No. just different sorts, I guess.
A little marching, maybe. But no.
Yeah. A little rhythm and music in that.
Right. And dance and retreat kind of thing. So,
yep.
Well, I'm very impressed. And what happens when you tell folks what you're doing, or when they see you doing it? Are they, at first, are they surprised? Are they delighted? Are they...
Yeah, usually one or both of those,
mm-hmm.
I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so, usually it's like, oh, wow, I never would have thought, or, oh, wow, that's mm-hmm. awesome, or, yeah, I don't know.
Well, I think it's terrific modeling also that a young man from Napa has opened your mind and heart and body to exploration. And how's it going?
It's great, yeah. I'm definitely looking forward to, you know, building upon, you know, what I've got so far, and just
mm-hmm.
kind of, challenging myself a little more and that mm-hmm. kind of thing. So
nice. So Julia, I'm thinking, because we do have, originally, of course, it was the Maddox Dance Studio from forever. I think it's like 60 years with Jeannie Peterson now. And, Astoria School of Ballet, and now there's Encore, and I think there's a couple of others. But I saw you more as a performing troupe. Have you been teaching at Astoria Arts and Movement as well?
Yeah, so we teach under the company's name, but various company members have extensive backgrounds in teaching. So I teach a modern class that's open to the public on Thursdays, 7 to 8, and then Sarah Cohen teaches a ballet class open to the public, 7 to 8. And the company members take those, so they are an intermediate advanced level class. But we open it up because there are adult dancers hiding in the woodworks that have grown up and trained with Maddox or moved here with the Coast Guard, and they find us.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's nice because at AMC you can drop in and explore and check things out. So that works. How many people are there in the company? Are there just the three of you at this point, you and the two Sarahs, or are there others who are in and out, or how does that work?
Yeah, so we have three active company members and one inactive, and then we have four community company members.
Wow.
Nate, and then three children.
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, speaking of children, what are you doing now? A children's musical theater street show. And that is happening starting tomorrow and Sunday. I'll give the logistics and we'll repeat them later. Tomorrow at 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. and Sunday at 1 p.m. And this is in the Garden of Surging Waves. What a beautiful space on 11th and Duane in Astoria. So, what are you doing?
Yeah, so we are taking three numbers from our musical theater show this past summer. And we threw in Nate, and he was a trooper. And we are formatting it similar to our Wizards, Witches and Waffles workshop we did around Halloween. So the company performs live pieces, but we also incorporate a lot of creative movement activities with the kids. So they stand up, they get to explore and move in their body in their COVID-safe dance bubble, I like to call it.
Okay, meaning folks, masks are required, so, and physical
Correct.
Distance. So,
yes,
but there's plenty of room. That's the beauty of. Now, it's going to be a beautiful day tomorrow too. I've heard it over and over on the weather reports. So that's promising. What age is this recommended for? Of course, anybody of any age. Us old folks can join in too, can't we?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's a great time for parents to have with their children and to get silly and move around and move up and down and jump. We advertise that kids really 8 and 9 and under gravitate toward that creative process and imagination. As you get more into 5th and 6th grade, it kind of gets uncool. But, you know, bring the siblings,
right?
Bring a blanket. It's a really lot of great fun. Kids enjoy it. It's only 30 minutes, so it's just the perfect length.
Well, I think that having Nate perform with you is also lovely because that opens it up to modeling for boys as well as girls. Because we know, we dancers know that dance is cool for anybody and everybody, and some of the greatest dancers are both women and men. So what are the pieces that you're going to do? And then, Nate, I want you to tell me what you're doing. Actually, if you know, why don't you tell us what are the pieces and what you're doing?
Yeah, the three pieces we're doing, one's called the Pirate King, and that's the role I play in that one, the Pirate King. Then a piece from Mary Poppins, which I I'm Not In, and then Under the Sea from The Little Mermaid, in which I'll be Sebastian the Crab.
Uh-huh. Do you get to wear some kind of outrageous costuming?
Oh, yeah. Got a nice little googly-eyed crab hat.
Oh, great. Is it hard to dance with stuff on your body, especially on your head?
You figure it out.
Okay.
Improvise and adapt.
I love your attitude. So it sounds as though you're hooked.
Nate. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Wow. Julia, congratulations. Thank you. Thank you for bringing more people into the world of dance. Because, as you say, start them young. And everybody likes to move. And it's so sad when people are constantly being told, sit down and keep quiet. And it's like you get all those squirmy kids. I was one of them. How could anyone tell? Right? And this allows people to see how not just liberating, but using the imagination, as you said, being creative, and then doing it as a family or with friends or community. So what kind of stuff do the kids, do you have any, probably not in these days, you don't have extra costume stuff.
Extra costumes?
Yeah, like scarves and stuff like that.
Oh, I have a stockpile of things that when COVID is over and
right.
I can have kids twirling scarves or throwing beanbags, I'll be all over it.
Right. Well, that I remember from the past, but I just realized you probably can't do that right during COVID. So
no, it's all our imagination, but, you know, it's provided a lot more opportunity for me to get creative with kids can't touch things or pick things up or touch each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's created challenges, but challenges create more opportunities.
Have you worked with children all along?
Yes. I've worked with children my whole life, teaching dance or creative movement, and it's a hoot. I love it. I find that I am inspired in my creative process when I go to work with a company or with adults is a lot more flexible and a lot more, I break the rules a lot more because kids open your eyes to opportunities that you don't do as an adult because you're not used to wrestling on the floor with animals or other children.
Mm-hmm.
Children don't have a filter.
Mm-hmm.
So you say be a crab and all of a sudden they're rolling on the ground. Yeah, it's great. And we've brought in Alex Nelson and Jacob Cohen as our newest children into the community company. And they'll be the fish and seaweed in the closing Little Mermaid number. And it's been really great to add them in and have their input. Can we do this? Can we try that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's really great to see the light in their eyes and the excitement.
How is it working for you to be doing all these performances outside? The ground is a little hard, but other than that, how does it feel?
Oh, It's great. I mean, what better stage than the great outdoors? It has its challenges. You know, you have to think about impact on your joints because we're all over 30. And so, you know, a lot of jumping and rolling and diving and on your hands and knees. You know, we try to be careful when we choreograph things. And, of course, the weather is always a factor. You know, if it's pouring, we're going to cancel.
Yeah.
If it's a mist, that's regular Oregon sunshine, and we go forward.
Right. Why don't you tell folks again where it is and when it is, and then is there some way they can check to make sure it's happening should the weather change?
Sure, absolutely. So we have two performances tomorrow, 11 o'clock and 1 o'clock, and then on Sunday we have a 1 o'clock show. And the best place to check is Facebook and also our website, sparrowdanceco.astoria.org. Mm-hmm. And then we will put out a sign, even if it's pouring. We'll be there. And if it starts to pour, then we'll pack up our things. But there will also be a sign that says the show's canceled. Okay.
Is there music?
Absolutely. There's music before. You can come early and watch us warm up. And then there's music with the little kid activities. And there's music after for a little boogie-woogie. You got to.
Okay. Now, maybe where I should have started, but I forget. Julia, tell us a little bit about your dance background. We've already established Nate didn't have one. Why don't you tell us about yours?
My dance background started before I was even born. My mother was a dancer, and she danced when she was carrying me. And so my first dance class was at 3 because my mother wanted to socialize me with other children. And that was it. I just loved it. I'd grown up around music and dance. And when I was 14, I really made the choice that, no, I want to do this as a profession, which is really late for a dancer. That's a late choice. And then that was it. I trained professionally with Oregon Ballet Theater and spent time at University of Arizona and got my dance degree from Western Oregon.
And when did you move to Astoria?
About 7 years ago. I was here for 5 and moved away, and then I've been back for 3.
Okay. Well, I think we're very lucky to have you here, and I'm sure that Nate feels the same way, and I so hope to see all of you dancing, and soon we'll all be out and about a little bit more, and keep that dance going. So again, folks, this is the Children's Musical Theater Street Show tomorrow and Sunday. It is free. I'm sure there'll be a donation bucket somewhere. And they are performing pieces from Under the Sea, I Am a Pirate King, and A Spoonful of Sugar. And Nate LaPorte, I think Nate's the first man in the group. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, so he gets to be the Pirate King and Sebastian the Crab. And then Julia will be dancing, Julia Gingrich, the founder and choreographer and dancer. Who else is dancing in the adult world tomorrow?
We have Sarah Cohen and Sarah Elder.
Okay, so all 3 of you regulars are dancing. Wonderful. Thank you so much. It's at the Garden of Surging Waves, 11th and Duane, in Astoria. If you you can join in the dancing, or you can walk around, or you can sit somewhere or bring something to sit on and enjoy the show. It's only a half an hour, so this is one of those things you don't want to be late for. You can, but you'll miss most of it if you are. So thank you so much for coming in, Julia Gingrich, Nate LaPorte from Sparrow Dance Company in Astoria, and that's sparrowdanceco.astoria.org. And last thing to tell folks, Sparrow Dance Company has a couple of gorgeous pieces on the Liberty Theater website. It's on their virtual site, so check that out. They're 2 beautiful pieces that this is just by the adults. So thanks again. Take care. Okay, folks. Well, we started out with the 4 questions, Manish Tana Halayla Hazeh, to celebrate the holiday of Passover. This is a holiday. This is one of the important holidays. There are 3 important time holidays in the Jewish tradition. The other 2 are Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Shavuot. And this is the time, according to the story, that the Hebrews left Egypt. The word for Egypt, by the way, in Hebrew is Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim. And the word has in it the root for the word narrow. And so we are commanded to see ourselves in this time. It's not just an historic event. It's how we are today. And again, I think it's very appropriate these days. We've been in a very narrow, confined place. We still are in many ways, health-wise, political-wise, environmentally, and the idea is for us to come out, to come through, to think about how we deal with this. So the youngest child asks the four questions, and I'm hoping that my friend Margaret is going to be asking those questions for the first time. She's not a young child, but it's whoever is the youngest person at the Seder, and if it's all adults, you're it. And right now we're going to listen to a song by Debbie Friedman, an American woman who died way too young, but several of her songs have become classics, and this is one of them called Miriam's Song. And Miriam was the sister of Moses. You can look all this up if you want, or just enjoy the music. Miriam had a timbrel, which is a tambourine, which is one of my instruments. It's in the back of my car at all times, just in case I have a need for it. And she led the women. And here's Miriam's Song by Debbie Friedman. Hey, wow. Big thanks to Nevada for pulling that song up. Debbie Friedman, blessed memory, with Miriam's Song. And I'm going to send that one out to Julia and the two Sarahs from the Sparrow Dance Company, and to Maggie and to Jeannie and to all the leaders and the people, to Jessamine, all of those who, Marco, although, yeah, all of the women and men who lead people in liberation of all different ways, including the dance. So coming up next is, and they crossed the Red Sea, you know, that story where, you know, it opened and all that kind of thing. Well, speaking of the sea, we're going to bring it a little closer to home and speak of the river. That would be, of course, the Columbia River. But first, I want to remind you, since KMUN is sitting right here on the river, and since we would not be here without you, I'm going to ask you to make that phone call or check on the website, coastradio.org or KMUN.org, and make a donation for KMUN. Keep us on the air. Keep this incredible staff that's been keeping us on the air. Graham, now Nevada, Emma, Susan, Janet, Baby, and of course Joanne and Kathleen, and to all of the fabulous homegrown programmers. Folks, it's amazing to me, and I've been doing this for half my life. I figured it out. This radio station is celebrating 38 years on the air, and I've been with it from the beginning. So half my life has been involved with KMUN, and I can't imagine life without it. So I do my part, and I hope you'll do your part. Now, back to that fabulous Columbia River. We have one of the best museums in the world, the Columbia River Maritime Museum. And here to tell us what's going on there, because I'm on their mailing list, so I know there's stuff happening all the time. And Carolyn Webben is here with me. She is the Membership Marketing Communications Manager, and she knows everything that's going on there. So welcome, Caroline. Hello?
Can you hear me?
Oh, now I can. Okay.
Okay, here you are.
Hi.
How are you, Carol?
Good, good. I don't know whether you heard what I said about you, but I told people that you could, that you know everything that's going on at the museum because because you're in charge of membership, marketing, and communications, and that kind of covers it all. So I asked you to join us and inform us. You know, I try to announce activities and events, but the museum has so many that I can't keep up. So I thought, I'm going to hand it over to you and let you tell us. Tell us first a little bit about the museum for people who don't live here. And as you and I discussed, there are even people who live here, possibly who drive right past it. And I don't know how this is possible, but don't realize what we've got here in this town. So why don't you tell us about the Columbia River Maritime Museum. How old is it, by the way?
Actually, May 11th of 2022 will be our 60th anniversary. So
nice.
Almost 60 years old. So it's an amazing museum. Much more than just boats in a building. There's interactive exhibits. There's canning and fishing and whaling exhibits. Of course, we've got the lightship Columbia, which is unlike anything else on this coast.
Well,
anyway,
what does that mean, a lightship?
So it used to be moored out in at the mouth of the river. Traditionally, they would put lighthouses in places where they were trying to help ships navigate coastlines. But obviously, there's no place in the middle of the mouth of the river for a lighthouse, so they would anchor a light ship, which acted like a lighthouse, helping mariners navigate the mouth of the Columbia River.
And what does it do now?
Well, now it is graciously part of our exhibits. It's moored out there. People can climb aboard and explore the upper decks. The lower decks are currently closed due to COVID-19 restrictions. It's pretty tight quarters down there, so unfortunately we can't let people down there, but you can go on our website and take an interactive tour of the entire lightship and get some background on the history of the men that spent a lot of time anchored out of the middle of the river on the lightship.
Okay. So that's out there, and then there's the sweeping waves, which is the main part of the building. 1792 Marine Drive is the main museum, and
yes.
It's that would be, yeah, it's a huge parking lot, which is quite handy. So it's easy to find a spot. But in addition to the main museum, which has got all kinds of fascinating exhibits for all ages, I really enjoy taking children and adults where you can climb on that boat and actually move the wheel and stand up above.
Yeah.
Tell us about the other building, and when did that come about? And by the way, how long ago, I was here when it happened, but I can't remember when it was, that that the museum moved into that newer building.
So for the first about 10 years of the museum's existence, it was located at what is now the Clatsop County Historical Society building, which was the old City Hall. So about 10 years after Rolf Klepp opened the museum in the old City Hall building, he started a fundraising program, and the museum came to be about 10 and a half, 11 years later. So we've been here on this site for almost 50 years.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Hard to believe.
Time flies.
To the campus over those years, of course, with the old train station, the old train depot that is now the Barbie Maritime Center, kind of our education hub over there for both adult and youth education programs. And then we have the MHRC, which is across the street, which is our collections warehouse.
That just came on board, a year or two ago, didn't it?
Oh, it's been more like 4 years. Yeah,
oh,
it's been a little bit. I know, time flies, especially in these COVID times.
Oh, that's right. We missed out on a whole year. That's true. It compressed.
That's true.
Okay.
And then last year, the completion of the Warnock Model Boat Pond happened. So the old North Coast Auto was torn down and the new boat pond was built. And it was up and running January of last year, but with COVID, unfortunately, the programming and some of the cool things that were planned out there at the boat pond weren't unable to happen. So fingers crossed we can get our boat rentals and some of that programming out of the boat pond up and running maybe this fall if things go well.
Well, opening that space up and putting in the pool has been a joy. I come from East County, so I pass by when I come into town every time. Mm-hmm. And it's like a light, literally, because you can see the water and the whole area is open. But also, it's just so beautiful compared to what was there.
What was blocking
the whole area. So tell us about some of the activities that go on in the museum and also over at the Barbie Center.
Well, the Barbie Center had been home to a very robust adult education program. Pygmy kayak building and wood carving, painting and watercolor classes, all kinds of good stuff. But unfortunately, all of that programming has been put on hold. We are hoping to pick some of that back up this fall if we can reopen with COVID restrictions. There is a regular carving club of about 8 folks that meet over there at the Barbie on Thursday mornings. It's a private carving club, so we have been able to bring them back. We can socially distance a few people in there and wear their masks, and so it's nice to have some activity over there again.
Yeah.
And then the museum, we were closed for 101 days, March. Yeah.
But who's counting, right?
June of last year. So we reopened with restrictions, and really all of our exhibits and everything are open again, with the exception of the lower deck of the lightship. Really, that's been the only thing that we haven't been able to bring back online since we reopened. The 3D theater is open. The museum store is open. All of the exhibits are available. Even the interactive stuff, we've worked through protocols to make sure people can, you know, completely enjoy the museum experience.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Well, that's one of the beauties of having a space that's so open also. With very high ceilings. And so there is air circulation, there's ventilation, so that makes it much easier to negotiate in the space.
Definitely. The Bricks Maritime Hall, the main hall with all of the boats in it, there's plenty of space in there. And even around the corner, as you walk in front of the 44-foot Coast Guard ship that you can see in the window, plenty of room in there. It was great to be able to reopen and let people safely visit the museum.
Can you tell us about that upended boat in the window? What is the story? Was that a real boat?
Oh, yes. That was a Coast Guard life-saving boat that was in service, was retired, and donated to the museum So I think that was about 20 years ago when they did the remodel and the bump out to install that 44-footer. And the idea was for it to be a real experience, to understand what it is to be a Coast Guard rescue boatsman out there when they're out there on the river or on the ocean. It's crazy. And if you stand there in front of it, it's unbelievably large and
yes,
and so much going on, even though it's sitting there and it's still, you can really get the feel for it.
Definitely. That's what's one of the things that's so wonderful about this museum is that, as you mentioned, the interactive parts where you mm-hmm. can climb inside. And even when you can't actually interact, you can be right there next to a real item like this boat or the various parts of boats that are shown. Is there a film part in addition to the theater, the 3D theater? Are there films shown in any other part of the museum or not anymore?
Oh, yes. Yeah, so there's a film in the mapping gallery that explains the collection of historic maps we have with the mapping of the Pacific Coast. Actually just went through and added some of that information to our website, so had to read through all of the details on each of those maps, and it's fascinating, from Coronado all the way to Lewis and Clark and how the west coast of the United States was mapped. It's really extremely interesting. So there's a film in there, The Great River of the West, which explains Robert Gray and the discovery and exploration of the Columbia River, is one of the more popular films we have. We have a film in the Crossing the Bar Gallery, which is just exactly that. It's a film of people crossing the Columbia River Bar. And I remember the first time I saw that film, it was before the 3D theater was installed, so it was in more of a movie theater type setting, and we were visiting here with family, and the only seats that were available in the theater at the time were the front row, so that's where we sat, and I actually got seasick watching the film, so it's very realistic.
Yeah, I had the same sensation. It was scary. It was really scary and very exciting, but thank you. I'll stay on land.
It gives you a real appreciation for the pilots, the bar pilots,
oh my
the river
gosh.
Pilots out there. That is yeah. really just an unbelievably tough job.
So does the museum have a relationship with the Coast Guard?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. So we have the two cutters that are right here at the pier here at the museum. So, and we do a number of things, Coast Guard events and ceremonies over at the Barbie Center when we can. Mm-hmm. And our deputy director, Bruce Jones, is actually a retired Coast Guard, so a captain, no less. So,
right. Right.
Yes, we have very close ties to the Coast Guard.
Okay. So now tell us about, we were hoping to have Nate the Great here. Oh, I don't know if they call him that still, but Nate Sandel is the education director. Is that his title?
The director of education. He is still known as Nate the Great. Okay. As a matter of fact, one of his mini boat classes actually named their mini boat Nate the Great after him this year. So.
Well, he did. Yes. He did call me and apologize that he had. He has a meeting right now, so he couldn't join Caroline Webben and myself on this show. But before Nate was the director of education, he worked at the museum for a long time, and he went out to schools all over. And that's, I think, where the title came from, because the kids adore him. So how does the program work for the community? How do the children get involved, or are there adult education programs as well?
Yes, we do have both adult and student education programs. The student side of things obviously changed dramatically in this last year. Museum in the schools is kind of the premier student education program, and it used to be that classes would come to the museum and participate in these programs. What's in that ship, which explains about all the different types of ships up and down the river. There's one about albatross. I mean, there's a whole wide range of topics, but the kids couldn't come to the museum this past school year, so museum in the schools went virtual. So teachers would still sign up their virtual classes. Learning kits were assembled and mailed to every student in every class that was enrolled. Wow. And then Miss Kelly McKenzie, one of our educators, actually 2,605 students were educated through the virtual museum in the schools program this last school year.
That's fabulous. Now, does that reach out beyond Clatsop County then?
It's actually for all, it was extended to all Oregon and Washington schools.
Excellent.
So we did expand it this year because it was virtual. They can't do that necessarily if they're driving to every one of the schools.
Right.
But with the virtual program, we were able to open that up.
Right. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah.
What else?
And it's completely free. I mean, there's no cost. And one of the cool things we were able to do with the Museum in the Schools program this year was each of the learning kits included museum tickets, so one adult ticket and one student ticket. So the students that participated in the virtual program had the opportunity to actually come to the museum and visit and see the museum itself for free. So that was part of the program this year, and we are really excited about that.
And what grade level or age group was that for?
It's kindergarten through sixth grade, so it's elementary.
Okay. Okay, excellent. Any other programs that we should know about that are happening or will be happening again once the world opens up?
Well, the other signature program of our education department is the mini boat program, and that's Nate's baby. We have a mobile mini boat maker space. So Nate hooks up the trailer to his car and he goes out to schools, or actually they meet in kind of a central neighborhood in the school area, and they assemble their mini boats and do all of their mini boat education programs outdoors, open air, everyone masked, everybody socially distanced. So we're able to continue that very hands-on education program outside even through COVID. So,
wonderful.
And then the other thing we have this year is the Mini Boat Explorers Club, which was created this year to engage some local students. It involves transporting them to and from Emerald Heights every Tuesday down here to the Barbie, where they are able to build their own mini boats. They've had some special guest speakers from Pacific Power and the National Weather Service to kind of add to the educational programming in addition to building the mini boats. So it's been a really great way to engage those students, and get them down here to the museum. They had a field trip one day that let them come into the museum. So the mini boat program is a great program, a great program.
Well, I think we've whetted people's appetite. What is the website for the Columbia River Maritime Museum?
It is crmm.org.
Couldn't be simpler. Okay, Columbia River Maritime Museum, crmm.org. And if somebody goes there, can they sign up for the newsletter there as well?
The newsletter that you got in your email box yesterday is a member's newsletter. So
oh,
it only
okay.
goes out to our museum members.
Okay.
So thank you for your membership, Carol. We appreciate it.
Oh, funny you should mention it, Caroline. We've been saying the same thing.
We have a Facebook page that is out there for anybody who wants to follow the museum, and it includes a lot of some of the information, but some of that member information we save especially for those that support us through membership.
Great. Well, and folks, I didn't bring it up. Caroline did, but thank you. She knows because she does membership, marketing, and communications manager for the Columbia River Maritime Museum, Caroline Webben. And I can speak for KMUN. We're in the same boat. Pun intended. We are in our pledge drive. We are hoping to make our mark by our birthday, which is April 17th. That will be our 38th birthday. And we would love to have your support. So while you're on the web checking out crmm.org, go to kmun.org and make your donation there for this fabulous radio station. Caroline, thank you so much for joining me and for letting folks know. Again, the museum is 1792 Marine Drive. You can't miss it on Marine. Well, you can, but that would be silly. It's obviously on the north side, on the water, and it's a fabulous place to visit. So thanks so much, Caroline.
Thank you, Carol. Thanks for inviting us. And you thank you, KMUN, for all you do for our community.
Thanks. Okay. And folks, I do want to let you know that this weekend is Oregon Ghost Conference. You can go to OregonGhostConference.com and find out all the events. Seaside and Astoria, including the Gully's Butcher Shop, has a tour from 10 to midnight tomorrow night. And tomorrow night also, tomorrow evening at Winecraft, on 10th and Marine and the water, basically, is Barbara Ann, folk singer, and Richard T, folk musician. And both or one of them is there every week on Saturday evenings. And the Sou'wester has their alternative folk musicians, Drew Tucker and Megan Adler, tomorrow night from 8 to 9:30. And Wednesday the 31st is Manzanita Day Festival. Please support KMUN. We're going to go out with a tiny bit of music. And I want to wish everybody Chag Sameach, a festival of peace and a time for liberation and freedom. Thanks for being here. Thanks to KMUN. Be well. Wear your mask. It's an act of love.